Thank you, Minister Hamler. To all of our psalmists, we appreciate you. Thank you so very much. Pastor St. Germain, we just thank God. What a treat, what a treat, what a treat. Y'all type in there a big God bless you to Pastor St. Germain. What a treat. He got to sing his testimony today. Amen, amen, amen. What a blessing. I want to thank God. Thank you, Dwight, for doing your best to get through. He did the best he could, y'all. He did the best he could. Thank you for doing your best to get through that reading today. I'm going to drop anchor at that first verse of Acts chapter 6. In those days when the number of the disciples was increasing, the Hellenistic Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of the food. One version says, in the daily ministration. Amen. I want to talk about how the church prospered through their problems. And now let me shorten that, prospering through problems. There is a verse of scripture that said, man that is born of a woman is but a few days, and those days are full of trouble. Those days are full of problems. And the truth is, there are some problems that we can't stop from coming our way. You can pray, you can plan, but with all the praying and planning that you do, Dwight, there's still gonna be some problems that's gonna land not just in your driveway, but right in your house. Because there are some problems you're not are going to be able to avoid. And since there's some problems, Reverend St. Germain, that we aren't going to be able to avoid, why don't we see if there's a way that we can prosper through our problems? Bertel, since we can't get rid of wicked folk that will bust doors in our businesses and burn them down, let's see if there's a way somehow that in the midst of all of that, when we come out on the other side, that we'll be better on the other side than we were before the problem ever showed up. And I believe that that can happen in our lives. The image of the text of chapter 6, verse 1, the image that we see in chapter 6, verse 1, is that God is showing favor to his church. God is blessing his church. Matter of fact, the text really describes God multiplying the church. Numerically, the church is growing in a big way. The church is not just adding people, but the Bible says that the church is multiplying. This church that started with a little 120 folk, and the gospel is now being preached, Hamlet, this church has become an international church. This church have people from many different nationalities. This church is a multicultural congregation. It's an international, multicultural, bilingual congregation. It's people who come from different backgrounds. It's people who dance to different music. It's people who eat beef and bacon. All these people have heard the gospel and believe in Jesus Christ, that they died for their sins and God raised him from the dead. It's a new church. It's a new day. Did I say it's an international church? A multicultural church. It's a bilingual church. It's a new day, but the leaders of the church are serving them in an old way. Stay right there. Whenever you got a new church, but you keep serving them in an old way, that's a good opportunity for a problem. I'm gonna say it again. When the church has grown dramatically, international, multicultural, God's shown favor, and you still doing it, you still serving them, listen, it's more people, more issues, more needs, but now you're trying to meet those needs the same old way that you did it way back then, because that's the way you always did it. That's a recipe for a problem. And when you look at the text in verse number one, I'm convinced that verse number one is a verse that we have butchered way too long. And we butchered this verse because we've read it way doggone too fast. We read it way too fast because ultimately we didn't dig down, we didn't do a deep dive to see why it was written. And if we do a deep dive to see why it was written, we will discover some stuff. And what we discover is very applicable to what we're dealing with today. It's amazing how applicable what's in verse number one is applicable to what you and I, what the church is dealing with this very day. It's a new church. It's a church that God is prospering. And here's what I want to show you. It is possible for God to prosper the church, and while the church is being prospered, for the church to experience problems even at the same time. Come on, I'm going to say it again. You can be prospered by God and experience some problems all at the same time. Prosperity can present problems, but let me help you. It's only a problem when man looks at it without looking it at through the lens of God. Let me do it again. It's only a problem when man looks at the issue without looking at it through the lens of God. But when you look at it through the lens of God, it ain't nothing but an opportunity, because if God is good enough to give it to you, then God is smart enough to show you how to handle what he gave you. I said, if God is good enough to give it to you, then he's also smart enough to give you the wisdom to know how to handle what he gave you. Somebody would say the problem is the murmuring. Because when you read the text, you don't have to read long when you discover that the Hellenistic Jews begin to murmur against the Hebraic Jews. You got one group murmuring against another group. You got the Hellenistic, you got the Greeks murmuring against the Hebrews. But let me explain something. Murmuring ain't the problem. Murmuring is a sign that there is a problem. Just call somebody holler, my hollering ain't the problem. My hollering is a sign that something's wrong. Okay. Come here. God sovereignly arranged a dentist appointment so that I could illustrate this for you. I went to the dentist this week, and my doctor was replacing a filling that had came out. And
he explained to me that he would put a silver shield. It's a thin, looks almost like aluminum foil. A thin yet firm silver shield around my tooth. And the silver shield is put around my tooth to protect the rest of my mouth while he puts the filling in the tooth. It took him a little second to shift the shield in there. And once he got it in, he said, now you're going to feel a little pressure. But while he applied the filling, it went beyond pressure because the silver shield started cutting into my gum. And I made some noise. And he looked at me kind of strange. And I said, hold up, because you said the silver shield was to protect me. But the silver shield is hurting me. And you need, something needs to happen, because what was designed to protect me is now hurting me. And we need to stop right now until the shield stops hurting me. I'm hollering because of the pain that the shield is causing my flesh. And because he's a good doctor, he stopped right there and adjusted the shield. And once the shield was adjusted, we went on with the procedure. And here I am right now. I got a custom mouth. The hollering ain't the problem. And nobody in their right mind has the right to complain about anybody who's hurting hollering. Ain't it funny? People who ain't hurting complaining about folk who's hurting hollering. Don't it remind you about the crowd when blind Bartimaeus, his only opportunity, Jesus was passing by, and he said, Jesus of Nazareth. And they were trying to push the mute button. But everybody who was trying to shut him up had their sight. Murmuring ain't the problem. Murmuring is a sign that there is a problem. So, Pastor, how did they prosper through the problem? Bressie, you asked a real good question. Here's the first thing I know they did. They stopped and examined the ministry. They did an examination of the ministry. I know they did, because verse number one is the conclusion of the examination. Let me show you what I mean. Here it is, here it is. The conclusion is the heap. Here it is. The conclusion is the Hellenistic widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of the food. King James Version says neglected. Now, when you do a word study on that, here's what happened. They went back and they looked at the report and laid them side by side. Here's what the word study said. The word study said, lay them side by side and see how they're treated when they're laid side by side. And when they looked at how the Greeks were treated, it seemed like they always came up short. Seemed like they always ran out of food. Seemed like the line was always too long. But when it looked at the Hebrews, seemed like they always went away full. They translated in NIV to help everybody understand, because they know we living in a day where most folk ain't gonna go study. It simply means there's one crowd that was being overlooked. That's the conclusion. The conclusion of the examination is that the widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of the food. Slow down. Who? Widows. Well, what's the significance of that? These were the weakest individuals in society. Widows. These were individuals who didn't have a son who was semi-retired from the Power and Light Company. These were individuals that did not have children that they could move into their guest room. These were individuals that didn't have nobody that could come to their aid. These were individuals that were all alone, and if it wasn't for the church, they had nobody to call on. They were the weakest individuals in society. That's who. When was it happening? The text said daily. Now you got to remember that's significant, because these folk didn't have deep freezers. They didn't have no freezer. They didn't have ice box. So they had to go to the church daily to get the food. They had to go to the marketplace daily. What were they after? Food. They were just trying to get the basics that they needed to survive. Without this, they would not be able to live. Who? Widows. What were they being denied? Food. When? Daily. Here's what I like about it. They ain't give no names. They didn't say who did it. I wish they had, but they didn't. They didn't say when they did it, but at least they acknowledged it, they owned it, and they halted it. You know how we can get through a whole lot of problems? If folk would just acknowledge that it's a problem, own it, and then halt it. The reason why this stuff keeps coming up, and God knows I'm trying to get through this without cussing, I promise you I'm going to do it. Y'all pray for me online. We can get through anything, any problem, if you just acknowledge it. And if you did it, own up to it. And then halt it. Matter of fact, some of this stuff has already started changing. People in Louisville have already written a law. Ain't no police gonna be able to bust in your door without acknowledging that they're at the door. Laws are already being rewritten. You gotta acknowledge there's a problem. Gotta own up to it. Then you gotta stop it. How do you prosper through this problem? Examine it, and you'll discover that the opportunity is not far away. There's another step. It gives you a chance to exercise your faith. It gives you a chance to exercise your faith. Because see, when you get to the second verse, it looks like the disciples, it looks like the 12 are acting like they too good to wait on tables. No, what they're saying is, let me read it. The 12 gathered the disciples together. They said, it wouldn't be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word in order to wait on tables. Let me break it down for you. What they're saying is, the tables are important, but the word's important. What they're saying is, we gotta have the word. We gotta have the word. Don't get me wrong, we need the table, but we also need the word. I know we need the table, but we need the word. God gave us his word. His word is lamp to my feet, it's a light to my path. His word is what's gonna not return void. His word is what we gotta hide in our heart, and we gotta know his word. We gotta know how to handle his word. We gotta rightly divide his word. A. Lewis Patterson, that beloved preacher who's gone upstairs, told the story about the man who bought that talking parrot. He bought the parrot and went home, and he came back to the pet store and said, that parrot, dude, he ain't talked for 2 days. He said, did you put the suit on him? He said, no, I didn't know he needed a suit. He said, oh, he ain't gonna talk without the suit. And so he bought the suit and went home, put the suit on him, had a three-piece, put the three-piece on him, and the parrot still didn't say nothing. He waited 3 days. He came back, he said, I put the suit on him. He had a three-piece suit. He still ain't said a word. He said, well, did you put him in his swing? He said, you ain't tell me he needed a swing. He said, oh, no. You gotta have a suit on, and then he gotta be able to swing. He gotta be able to swing. So he bought the swing, and he waited 2 more days. He had the suit and he had the swing. He still didn't say nothing, and then he went back and he said, now look, you said this parrot could talk, and I gave him the swing and I gave him the suit. He said, but he gotta have the music. Did you buy the bell? And he said, no. He said, but you gotta have the bell, because he gotta have the music. He gotta have the music, he gotta have the swing, and he gotta have the suit. And he got the bell. He said, okay, now listen now. He said, I promise you. And he got the bell. Went back and put the bell together, and he had all of that. And then this time, he didn't wait. He went back that afternoon, and he said, well, did you give him some seed? And he said, no. And so he finally took the seed back, but it's been 2 weeks now. And the parrot said, you know, I know you gave me the suit, you gave me the swing, you gave me the bell, but fool, what I really needed was some seed, and you're too late now, and he killed over and died. You're gonna catch this in a minute, because what they really need is not just a three-piece suit, and what they really need is not just a swing, and music is nice, but they need more than that. They need the word. They need the seed. Because if they get the seed, even if they never get their rock together, if they get the seed, even if they never get the three-piece suit, if they get the seed, even if they never get all those other things, they can stand on the word of God. And you got to have faith to be able to stand and believe that the word works. But it does work if you work it. It'll work if you work it. It'll work if you work it. It don't work sitting on the dining room table. It'll work not just sitting on some little table in the living room, but it'll work if you work it. I'm done. They examine. Gives you a chance to examine the ministry.
It'll give you a chance to exercise your faith. And here's the last one. It'll give you a chance to enlist others and expand your team. Because the truth is, God never meant for the preacher pastor to try to do everything by himself. He said, the Holy Ghost said, hey, let's expand the team. Let's get some other folk. And listen, here's what's so amazing. Let me show you something. Let me show you something. Drop down to look at verse number. Here it is, 3. Brothers and sisters, choose 7 men among you, full of the Spirit and wisdom. But I like how the King James Version said it, because it used the word, let's find somebody, first of all, who is honest. Find somebody who has an honest report. Now, let me tell you why that's significant. It's almost as if they're saying, this time, because it's evident whoever was doing it before wasn't always. And when it says an honest report, the idea is we're not looking for somebody who's honest now. We're looking for somebody who's been honest. We need somebody who's been honest a long time. We need somebody who's full of the Holy Ghost. Somebody who's willing to yield to the Holy Spirit, because you know the flesh is willing, but the Spirit is willing, but the flesh is. We need somebody who will yield to the Spirit to make the flesh do what it ought to do instead of what it wants to do. Because sometimes the clock says 5 o'clock, we're closed. But we need somebody who's filled with the Holy Ghost, who sees somebody, and yes, it is 5:05, but they'll, because of the Holy Ghost, they'll still be there and continue to serve, because that's what needs to be done, because that's somebody's grandmama. That's somebody who needs it, and they'll continue to serve. We need somebody who has the power of wisdom, because it's a dangerous thing. It is not wise to neglect people who love the Lord. It is not wise to neglect people who are the least of these. God's been good to us. God's been better to us than we've been to our very own selves. He's been better to us than we deserve. And because he has, it's not wise to mistreat anybody. And here's what I believe. I believe with all my heart. I don't know how long this went on, but I don't think it was 200 years. I don't know how long this went on, but I don't believe it was long at all. Why? Because they acknowledged it, they owned it, and they halted it. And then they picked some people. Now, here's what blows my mind. What amazes me, the people that they picked to serve in this capacity were people that talked like and looked like the very people who had been neglected. Don't miss it. The Greeks, the Hellenistics, they were the ones who had been overlooked.
six of the seven that were chosen were Greek. To make sure that there would be no trouble understanding, that there would be no trouble communicating, that there would be no trouble with the culture, they gave six of those positions to individuals that reflected and looked like the very people that had been overlooked. You want to turn this thing upside down? Turn this thing upside down. Put the folk who'd been abused, put people in charge who looked like the people that'd been mistreated. I close with this. I'm suggesting that the church ought to lead the way. I'm suggesting that the church ought to lead the way when it relates to justice, when it relates to fairness, when it relates to loving, when it relates to loving humanity. The church ought to lead the way. This is not only an opportunity for our country to reset. This is an opportunity for the church to reset. And we ought to lead the way. We ought to lead the way. It's a good time to examine ministry. This is a good time to exercise faith. This is a good time to expand and enlist others to do a new thing, a new way. We ought to lead the way. I'm determined. We're going to do some stuff differently, and we're going to do some stuff differently with people that don't sway like us, they don't do the bass like us, but it's a new opportunity to do things in an awesome way. It got Jesus killed. Because he came down and when he saw somebody suffering and it was a Sabbath, he didn't wait. And the problem was, we ain't got no problem with you healing the man, but don't you know it's the Sabbath? And Jesus said, Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Isn't it interesting? I was at an NCAA game. I was at a basketball game, and they were determined to get it right. Pastor St. Germain, there was a foul called. It was late in the game. It was a tense game. And there was a foul called. And it was a hard foul. And the refs called timeout. It was three refs. Really, it was four. It's three refs in the game, and then there's another ref that sits on the bench. He's there just in case one gets hurt. And they called a timeout, and all those three refs, they got together, and they went over to the bench, and they rewind, and they looked at the screen. They looked at it from three different cameras because they stopped the game for about 5 minutes. And they stopped and they went over and over and they discussed it among themselves because they were determined to get it right. They wanted to make sure that they got a foul call right. Over a foul, which would basically amount, does he get two shots or one? Stop the game. It's on TV. Everything got to stop because the refs want to get it right. And nobody says a word because everybody respects the fact that that's a good ref. Because they respect the fact, but they're trying to get it right. And there are commentators that says, Good call, ref. Good call. Good call, ref. Good call. In the NFL, a couple years ago, they gave the coach a flag. And whenever there's a call, questionable call, the coach, every team has their own coaches up in the stand and they're watching. And if it's a questionable call, then they'll radio down to the coach and says, I think you ought to challenge that. And there's and the other team knows. The other team knows that the ref may have made a bad call. And when they know that they may have made a bad call, they got a signal. They try to get everybody up to the line, because if they can start the play before they throw in the flag, then it's over. But then every now and then, at the last minute, you see the coach, he throws the flag, and then everything stops. Everything stops. And everybody comes together. They start reviewing tapes. They look at it from different angles, because they are determined to get the call right. I'll be. Help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. How is it that NCAA, nobody says a cotton-picking word, because they expect them to get it right in NCAA. And nobody says a cotton-picking word in NFL, because they expect them to get it right. And if they can get it right for basketball, and if they can get it right for the NFL, then they need to get it right. They need to get it right. And the church needs to throw the flag. The church needs to show them how. Stop. Examine that thing. Exercise your faith. Expand the team so that God can be glorified.